Well, I'm glad that's true. The offer's still available. Lord Jesus will accept everybody that comes to him, but you got to be willing to accept the offer. Amen. Well, it's my privilege tonight to have one of our missionaries out of our own church again. Brother Jim Morgan is back with us, and maybe he'll tell you what the occasion is that he's here, but we're glad to have him, and we've asked him to come and bring the message tonight. Good to have you, Brother Morgan.
Thank you, Brother Carter. Well, amen. Well, we appreciate being here. We're back, I was just back a few months ago, but my son didn't tell me he was planning on getting married until after we had already come back a few months ago. So my son Timothy, our fourth son, is getting married up in DeLand, Florida, and we're back to help out with that. So we ask you to pray for us this week. He's getting married next Saturday, so praise the Lord. But it's a blessing to be back. We appreciate you folks. This is home for us. This is our sending church, but this is our church. The ministry we have in Romania, as best as we can, we want it to reflect Landmark Baptist Church. That's what we were sent to do. That's what we want to do. And so we want to copy you folks. Amen. You sent us. You commissioned us to go, and we're going to do what you sent us to do. And we praise the Lord for you standing behind us over the years. We've been in Romania almost 24 years. And so we praise the Lord that the Lord has allowed us to be there. Open your Bibles, first of all, to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. It's a big difference there. Psalm 84. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Selah. Now you understand what Selah means? That means just take a minute and think about that. It's kind of a pause. Let's let this be a blessing, what's gone on before. Verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Again, think about that. Isn't that good? Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Father, bless the message now, and I pray that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit and use your word to encourage us and to push us on to greater things. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I only have one question tonight. Do you love church? Do you love your church? It's a sad thing. Sometimes in order for us to appreciate what we have, we have to lose it. It's so easy to take for granted what we have. David, up until his son Solomon, Absalom decided to rebel against him and try to take the kingdom by force, had moved the tabernacle into Jerusalem. You remember the story of him had to do it twice to get the Ark of the Covenant there, because he did it wrong the first time, and God had to remind him that there was a certain way to do it, and we don't copy the heathen and how they do it. The heathen use a cart. We do it God's way. By the way, that's why we don't copy the heathen in our church services. The heathen, when you can pass by the doors of the church and it sounds like you pass by the doors of the bar, I think that's copying the heathen. Have at it. I hope nobody in Radio Land is offended. I don't really care, but I hope they're not offended. But David had brought the ark to Jerusalem, and the tabernacle was at Jerusalem, and daily he could just look out of his window and see it down there. And maybe it got to the place to where he was just taking it for granted. I mean, drive down Henson Avenue. I know two addresses on Henson Avenue, that's all. 810 Henson Avenue and 2020 East Henson Avenue. I don't know how often in the year, every once in a while, I'll get on my computer and I'll just get on Google Earth and look at Landmark Baptist Church. I appreciate it. I'm not here as often as you folks are, but I hope you appreciate it. You see, this psalm, I believe, was written on the occasion of David being forced out of Jerusalem. And he's looking maybe over his shoulder, maybe after Shimei had thrown the dust at him, I don't know. And he's looking back over his shoulder and he's watching the tabernacle and he's watching Jerusalem fade into the distance. And as he's walking, maybe he said this, "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth." I haven't got over it, I don't think. My soul longeth. I remember whenever I was first saved, first began to go to church, how it seemed like there was an awful long time between Sunday and Sunday night, Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then from Sunday night to Wednesday night seemed like an eternity. And then from Wednesday night again to Sunday seemed like an eternity. I don't think I've got over that. I always look forward to going to church. Let me ask you this. Have you got so used to going to church that you can skip a service every once in a while and not feel bad about it? Yeah. How amiable are thy tabernacles? Is that how you feel about your church? Listen, I don't know if you know this, but it might possibly come to pass that Landmark may not always be here. Oh, Brother Jim, how could that happen? I don't know. How did it happen in Chattanooga, Tennessee? Right. And we could go down the list. I've taken 5 or 6 missionaries to the airport for the last time. And their works that they had started have closed up. I don't understand why a church would want to take out services. Let's quit having Wednesday night service because it's just too late and the kids have school. Yeah. Adjust. Yeah. There's nothing more important than this. Let's cut out the Sunday night service. Let's just have Sunday morning services. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I read my Bible wrong. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the less as life gets too busy and things get in the way. And the soccer and the football and the baseball and the other activities begin to encroach on the things that we need to do. Now, I'm still using the King James Bible. I believe it says, "And so much the more as you see the day approaching." Right. Now, do we see the day approaching? Right. Are the Sodomites trying to take over?
Yes.
Are they calling us a bunch of lunatic fringes now?
Yes.
When we used to be mainstream?
Yes.
The day is approaching.
Amen.
And as we see the day approaching, we ought to be looking for more opportunities to be in church. Praise the Lord for all the activities that are going on. Oh, springtime, man, all the activities at the church, they just get in the way of everything. Hey, this is the center of your life if you're saved. Well, I don't need the church. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. I can be just as close to God in the woods or out at the fishing lake as I can at church. I had a professor in Bible college. He used to say this: you're just showing your ignorance. If you knew the Bible, you wouldn't say that. Because you cannot be close to God and be in disobedience. And God said to assemble. And I believe there's a very definite heart problem if you don't want to be with God's people. Well, man, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, and so are you. Let me just give you just a little slogan here. It's not Bible, but I think it makes good sense. You know what it is? The best of men are men at best. We're going to fail you. We're going to let you down. Why? Because we're just like you.
Right.
He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works.
Yes.
We're all alike. And it's easier for you to point out the failures of the preacher or the deacons or the staff or one thing or another and always picking and prodding and all this other stuff. And you can't realize that, look, you've got the same problems.
But
hold yourself to the same standard you hold everybody else to.
But
then you'll suddenly realize, man, I like being in the house of God with all the hypocrites like me. We can all come together and get encouraged to quit being such hypocrites.
Yeah.
By the way, the hypocrites are at Walmart, and they're at the football stadium, and they're everywhere.
Yeah.
At least we're just a bunch of hypocrites trying to do a little bit better. And we fail, but we still try. Let me ask you something. Do you love your church? See, you can find the problems. They're there.
Right.
You understand, the occasion of this was Absalom running his dad out of town.
Right.
I believe that Absalom probably had found some faults in his father David.
Yeah.
David had his faults.
Yeah.
And when Absalom sat back and said, oh, if I were king, I wouldn't do things the way he did.
Yeah.
And he probably had some genuine complaints against his dad. His dad didn't deal with Amnon when Amnon raped his sister.
Right.
Yeah, he had a legitimate gripe. Ahithophel, the father of Eliam, the father of Bathsheba, who turned against David. He probably had some good reasons. And you can find some faults with everybody here. But this is where we get built up. We need this place. You need this place. How amiable are thy tabernacles? They're not perfect. But they're amiable. Amiable, that means pleasant, joyful, friendly. In Romanian, they use the word amiable to say friendly. He's a good friend. This is where your best friends ought to be.
What?
Your best friends ought to be here tonight. They ought not to be out at the basketball game or the football game tonight. Your best friends ought to be here in the church.
But
my best friends are here.
Yes.
The highlight of my ministry is coming back and seeing you. coming back and shaking your hands and seeing you still here. How amiable are thy tabernacles. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Interesting verse 3, the sparrows. My wife hates sparrows. They make a mess at my house. They like my porch. And they leave their little things all over the place. All over our porch swing. All over my guardrail, my handrail around my porch. Not only that, I don't like them very much because I have a styrofoam and then stucco over the styrofoam on the outside of my house, but the birds can find a way in there. And every summer it starts snowing. Styrofoam. And I'll have to find that hole, and I'll have to dig out those birds' nests, and I have to fill that hole back up with styrofoam. Then I have to stucco back over it, and then pretty soon I'll find another place. The sparrows are going to find a place to build a nest. And David, as he's walking out of town, he's looking back, and he says, even the sparrows get to go to the house of God. They're building nests right by the altar. Yeah. The swallows are there. And I'm having to leave. You know when you have to miss church? When circumstances bring it about to where there's no longer any place to go, or you can't get there, or you're traveling or something like that, it ought to break your heart. You ought to be envious of those that were able to make it on time to church. You guys that have to work on church night sometimes, does it break your heart? Are you constantly trying to figure out, how can I not miss Wednesday night? Or is it, got to miss Wednesday night? Yeah. Not only that, but I made extra money too. What's your attitude? Are you envious of those that have a 9-to-5 job that can get to church? Or you just wish that you could get one of those night job so you could miss every once in a while? It always amazes me at how easy it is for people to miss church. Have you noticed that? It's always easy. Company drops in, can't make it. Yeah. We fight this all the time in Romania. Just casual, well, my brother came. I had to stay home and fix him a meal. Well, he could have waited until after church. Amen. Well, that's rude. Well, it's rude for him to expect you not to go to church. Right. And if you teach them that, they'll understand. Amen. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, whose heart are the ways of him who, passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. You understand what this is? The valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, the valley of sorrow. Passing through the valley of Baca. You know, one of the things I need the church for is for encouragement. Amen. For strength in the battle and in the struggle. For strength in the sorrows that come in life. I need the church to encourage me. So, and how is it that David, as he maybe was walking out of Jerusalem and was passing through the valley of Baca, after Shimei had thrown the dust, and as he watched the tabernacle fade into the distance, and he's walking through this valley, how is it that he was able to turn that valley of weeping into a well? He took the tears, as the Bible says, and put them in a bottle for future use. I need the house of God, the church of God, the people of God, to stand by me whenever things are hard. I'm a missionary. I, early on, as I was raising my support to go to the field, I would call these churches up and they'd say, well, let me send you a questionnaire. And I'd get a questionnaire. And one of the questionnaires I got one time, the question was a really weird question. I really didn't understand what they meant. And so, but the question was this: have you ever had to stand alone? I think I know what they were getting at. But here's what I said: I have never had to stand alone. I have a good church that sent me to the mission field. And when my son Nathaniel was having his heart problems, my church stood with me. And when my daughter Susanna had the accident with her hand, my church stood with me. And whenever I've had to make a stand against different things in my ministry, I've been able to call Brother Carter and say, what should I do? And Brother Carter has stood with me. Whenever it came time to go to the mission field and I said, Brother Carter, the mission board doesn't want me to go right now, Brother Carter stood with me. I've never had to stand alone. Why? Yeah, you folks that don't think you need the church, you're going to have to stand alone someday. You folks that are listening to us on the radio and could be in the church house, you're going to have to stand alone. I don't have to stand alone. I've got friends in every section of this building. Dear friends. Now, the church isn't necessarily a place for me to have friends, but it is. This is my life.
Right.
The church isn't something we take it or leave it.
That's right. Yeah.
This is something we have to have. And this is what allows us when we pass through that valley of Baca. It allows us to make it well. It gives us the strength to stand. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Onward, Christian soldiers, from strength to strength.
Yeah.
From strength to strength. If you don't get strengthened when you come to church, there's something wrong with your attitude.
Yes.
You get strength from listening to the music of the choir. You get strength. Man, what a blessing the kids were, wasn't it? I get strength from that. You know what I'm looking at? I'm saying, wow, these girls are going to be up here someday.
Right.
And someday they're going to be here holding this mic and singing a song.
Right.
Some of them may eventually be up here. Some of the young men up here preaching. We're going from strength to strength as we meet together and we encourage each other. They go from strength to strength, every one of them, in Zion appeareth before God. We got this saying, and it's right. The church house isn't the temple. The people are the church, and that's true, but we've got to meet somewhere.
Right.
And we appear before God when we come here. Every part of this service is a time of worship. Did you know that? We sing, why? To prepare our hearts and to tune our hearts in with God.
Amen.
We take up an offering. You understand that that's worship.
Right.
You bring an offering when you worship.
Yeah.
Don't get mad.
Right.
Get glad.
Yeah.
We listen to the choir sing and we worship. Hopefully we're worshiping. Hopefully we're not staring at our iPhones, watching YouTube videos during the church service. I only do that occasionally. When Brother Carter's not preaching. I'm joking, I don't do that. We're worshiping. Then the preaching, as the Word of God is expounded and explained, as we're provoked and challenged to do something for God.
What?
And the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, worship.
What?
And then the invitation, worship. But probably the sweetest time is that 5 or 10 minutes after it's all over. And we go around and we shake hands with our brothers and sisters and we talk and hopefully not gossip.
Yeah.
And we spend time with each other in fellowship. That's worship. Every aspect of this service is worship.
Anybody?
Everybody here is involved in it, willingly or unwillingly.
Yeah.
But you're here. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah, behold, O God, our shield. And look upon the face of thine anointed. He's praying. God, I need you. I need you to intervene. I need something special from you, O God. And look at what it centers on. Behold, O God, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. If you didn't know me, if you didn't know that I was a missionary to Romania, if I were to ask you, have you ever heard of Bacău County in Romania? How many of you would be able to say, yeah, I heard of that before, long before I ever heard of you? If I said, how many of you know where Onești is? Or know anything about Onești, Romania? Yeah, a couple of people. Only because you know me or know somebody that's been there. Maybe if you watched the Olympics back in the late 80s, you might have heard of Nadia Comăneci. She was from Onești. But they probably didn't say anything about that. If I told you, I live in the village about 14 kilometers, which is about 8 miles, 8 or 8.5 miles out of Onești. I live in the village of Bursănești. Hardly anybody here would know what I was talking about. You probably couldn't find it on the map. You're Americans, you probably can't even find Europe on a map. It's only a small village, but there's an independent Baptist church there. I preached this Sunday, last Sunday morning in Onești. What are the chances that some American would leave his home, go to Romania, and not go to Bucharest,
yeah,
not go to Bacău, not go to Brașov or Sibiu or Cluj or Oradea, but end up in a little village called Bursănești with about 3,500 people in it, so that you could have a local New Testament independent Baptist church?
But
I can take you to hundreds and hundreds of villages in Romania that have nothing but an Orthodox church. An Orthodox church is a pagan temple.
Amen.
That's all it is. There's nothing there that resembles Christianity except for a few words in their liturgy. But as far as telling people how to get saved or anybody coming to Christ or living for God there, you're not going to find it. True Christianity is not found in those pagan temples in Romania and many other parts of the world. Now think about this. Who ever heard of Haines City, Florida?
Yeah.
Until there was a church here. How many of you here and you're saved because of this church? Think about that. What if there hadn't been a church here? You see, this is what all this is all about. This is what 2020 East Hinson Avenue is all about. By the way, that's what 810 East Hinson Avenue is all about.
Okay.
What? Taking what's done here and duplicating it in Romania.
Right.
And in other places in Florida. And in other states. I have a son that goes to Solid Rock Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri. Guess who started that? A graduate of Landmark Baptist College. Praise the Lord for that. Amen.
Well,
By the way, he's in Bartow now, brother. The name has slipped my mind. Brother Gentry. Listen, here's what we need to do. Quit taking what we have for granted. We're strengthened, we're helped, we're encouraged, we're pushed, we're provoked, we're challenged here. We need it. We need it. We need it until the day we die.
Right.
Praise the Lord for the radio. A lot of people can't come. Praise the Lord for that. But you ask anybody that's a shut-in that has to listen to it on the radio, it's just not quite the same as being there. That's why it's called the local church. And if you can be here, you ought to be here. Every time. Father, thank you for loving us, and thank you for your church. Thank you for the vision that brought this church to this area. And that's influenced so many other lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd work in our lives. Help us to appreciate what you've done. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.